The Church of What's Happening Now is presented by Onnit. This show is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. Lucky for you, and thankfully to ZipRecruiter.com, there's a better way. Our listeners can post their job to over 200 plus job sites, including social media, and they can try it for free when they go to ZipRecruiter.com/church. It's ZipRecruiter.com/church. This show is also brought to you by Helix Sleep. Helix Sleep is the website where you can buy mattresses online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com/Joey right now to get $50 off of your order. That's HelixSleep.com/Joey.
Kick that mule, Lee. Kick it. We ain't got time to dilly-daddle. Oh, shit. Coming at you. Oh, shit. Here you go. Church of What's Happened Now. Chris Porter. Lee Syatt. Here you go, cocksuckers. You're feeling a little depressed. You're down. You're fucking, you stepped on your cat. It's over. It's a new day, cocksuckers. Here we go. If you're not ready to turn this fucking up as a human being, this part right here, don't even fucking talk to me no more right here. Here we go. Here we go.
This shit is still amazing.
Still amazing.
Let's go rob a liquor store.
No, this is it. This is it. This is... If you're autistic right now, you just jump out a window. You hear this shit. Kick it, Lee. Here you go. Church of What's Happened Now. It's like listening to... For me, it's like listening to three different bands in one. Like, I could hear a little Aerosmith in there.
Yep.
You definitely could hear their distinctive sound, but there's some other piece in there.
There's that Zeppelin... Well, anytime I hear heavy metal, you got to go straight.
You got to go straight to Zeppelin. Yeah,
yeah. You're always that. Just that guitar and that anger is just that's all Zeppelin.
It sounds like Slash had like a certain bravado like to his guitar.
Oh yeah, he did. His tone is amazing.
His tone is amazing. It's weird that's what they say. Like as soon as you hear the first three chords, you should know who exactly it is if you're into that type of stuff. Like Gilmour from Pink Floyd.
Yep. Clapton.
Clapton has a distinctive tone. Hendrix, Eddie Van Halen.
Obviously.
Hendrix. That's why these guys are where the fuck they are, because they're a lot similar, but they all have their distinctive... The same thing with comics. You know, I said this years ago that comedians were all funny.
Yep.
We're all funny. It's the backstory and everything else that'll round us out once you get to fucking know who the hell we are, like anything else in life.
Being funny is, I mean, not to be egotistical, but it's pretty easy. Like, everyone's funny. Like, Uber drivers are funny. You know, my Lyft driver the whole way here told me how funny everyone thinks he is, you know. But it takes, you know, it's a different thing to do what we do.
Well, we have to channel it in a certain way, and that's where the mistake is, like... And we've been to 1,000 open mics, and over the years, as a marketing strategy, a lot of clubs that said, you know, new talent office night, and the whole office comes to the fucking club, you know, 60 people to watch the funny guy by the cooler go on stage, and it's a complete different game. It's like trying to be, it's like watching the UFC and going, you know what? I'm going to go down to the 7-Eleven and pick a fight with one of those homeless guys. Yeah. Shit. And I'm going to fucking hit him with an elbow and a fucking kick to the leg.
Yeah.
And this guy went to Vietnam.
Yeah,
he'll
yeah.
kill you with popcorn. You know what
and
I'm
he
saying?
Has like, nothing to live for
nothing
whatsoever.
To live for. It's so, people sometimes think it's that easy. That's the only thing that's bothered me about young comics over the years. Never, like about 10 years ago, I had a guy who had all the answers.
Yeah.
He had done comedy twice, and he got invited to a Montreal showcase. You thought this fucking guy was Jerry Lewis.
Yeah.
He was at the store, like, harassing comics. Like, how long did it take you to be up here? 6 years? I did it in fucking 3 nights.
Yeah. How long did it take you to find your voice?
Oh, my God.
I already found it.
Then I'll tell you how lunatic this guy got. This guy was fucking crazy. He scheduled this benefit, and he told everybody all these celebrities are going to be there. It was just a lie.
Yeah.
To sell tickets. I mean, he had Ben. This guy told me he called Ben Affleck's mother. He got a hold of her number and called her in Boston to ask her if Ben could be there. He told him Christine Aguilera. This is, you know, 12 years ago when Ben Affleck was really hot and he was young and shit with Jennifer Lopez. And
him and Matt Damon were still hanging out.
Yeah, they were still hanging out. And then he bombed there.
Yep.
And then nobody would book him around town, so this fucking Momo bought a restaurant in the valley and put a patio out there. And on Wednesday nights, he only wanted clean comedy. He thought everybody else was not really a comedian. He told me to my face, dirty comedians, people who talk about that type of topics are not really comics.
Like, yeah.
Okay. Ask me where the restaurant is today.
Yeah.
Done. Fuck him and his clean fucking comedy on a fucking balcony, you fucking moron. In this day and age. And he had the same clean comics up there every week. Like, I just watched them die. I never offered nothing. I never said nothing. I just sat in the sidelines and watched him die a slow death. I'd see him and he'd tell me how packed it was, who was up there, the celebrities that would go to his restaurant. And I'd ask people. And they'd go, dog, there's nobody there.
Yeah.
It's always fucking empty on Wednesdays, so.
I don't get that. The people.
Nah, I don't get that shit either.
How do you lie like that when it's easily provable? Like, there were other people there, dude. I don't get it.
I'll tell you what, and Stanhope told me this one time. He goes, doesn't it burn you up when you get to a club and it's empty? And they're like, last week, we had to fucking light people on fire to get them away from the door.
Yeah.
You know, but this week that rodeo's killing us. And you're like, what the fuck are you talking about? I just can't sell no tickets. Just tell me the truth. Why are you blowing smoke up my fucking ass and shit? You know I can't give away a fucking ticket.
Although, to be fair, some cities, man, it's like I've been to Des Moines twice when the state fair was there. And you can't. Kevin Hart could be there. He's not selling a ticket.
Are you serious?
Yeah, man. Like, you know, people have different priorities in different areas. And, you know, the state fair only comes around once a year. And the Funny Bone's open every week. You know?
That's crazy.
Yeah.
You can't pull them from the state fair. They're over there eating poison. Yeah. You ever go to a state fair? You see the food they give you there?
Oh, dude. A hamburger where the bun is a Krispy Kreme donut?
It's fucking crazy. There's one place, you know, you ever watch those shows and they show you like, you know, like places to eat during like, you know, in those small cities. I bet they have one or two great places that this the thing, but the rest is corn dogs and fucking that shit.
Yeah, but that's what you go to the, that's
state
what you go to,
for.
Yeah.
That's what
get
you
get a funnel
to.
Cake. Where else do you get a funnel cake?
Oh, Jesus. I had one at this place. About 5 years ago, they do a carnival down the corner here. Before the baby, I took my wife on a date down there. Let's go to the carnival.
Yeah.
I walked in. Every gang affiliation was there. We ate a funnel cake, took three hook shots at the basket. We got the fuck out of there.
It's like Magic Mountain, except south.
I would never, ever go on one of those fucking fucked up carnival rides or let my child go on one of those things.
I went on one, and the carny... I think that's the appropriate term. Thought he'd be cool because there was no one in line that he'd just let the ride go for a while. And it was like one of those crazy octopus ones. There's a reason that shit's only 60 seconds. Because after about 2.5 minutes, you're like, get me the fuck off this thing. I'm going to throw up. And he let it go for like a good five, like to the point where people were on the ride going, please make this stop. It was, yeah, that shit's not safe. And those guys... Again, or don't have a whole lot to live for, you know.
So fucking carnival people.
They're drunk at noon.
They're fucking crazy.
Like when you can be at your ticket booth holding a Schlitz, like that's. I mean, also, you know, it's kind of cool, but also, yeah, it's probably not good for OSHA standards.
I gotta tell you, people, I know you're gonna misunderstand when I said that. I'm not talking about Barnum and Bailey carnivals. I'm talking about the ones that come to your fucking neighborhood that everybody looks like they're ex-felons.
They're in parking lots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those things.
You never, like, in your drug days, even thought about going on a, like, it seems like the perfect place for it.
Fuck no. That's a complete different level of fucking filth. That's a complete different level. I dated a girl that was a carnival thing. She gave me a rash for fucking 4 years. That shit never goes away, those rashes those fucking carnival chicks give you.
Those carny rashes.
Like in Michigan.
And you dated her for 4 years?
I dated her for the weekend. You know, Thursday through Sunday. We fell in love.
She stuck around for 4 years.
Yeah, we broke up on Sunday. Like, these were relationships on the road. You meet him on Thursday, you give him a fake Fugazi ring on Saturday night, and on Sunday, I'll call you when I get
you
back.
You gave him a fake, you gave him a ring?
I used to buy like 10 of them on sale. Kmart.
You're a much better gentleman than I ever
listen,
was.
Listen, dog, you got to close them. I'm not a good looking dude, but you bust out the rock. When they're all rocked up with a couple of cocktails, that always closes.
Really?
Sure. You give them a Cuban zirconia, they don't fucking know.
Wait. See, I was always freaked out. I was always the guy that was like, listen, you know I leave on Sunday and, you know, this is going to like, and then I'd just be like, this is going to be over in 2 days. So if you're cool with that, cool. But otherwise, I'm not. I just dated so many crazy chicks.
Okay.
Just
on the road, you meet fire. The craziest one I ever met was in Syracuse. This one actually called my manager at the time.
No way.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad. And it started as a job. Like, I just went to work for her, and I would go up there, and she'd go, where do you stay when you were at a hotel? You should stay downstairs. And that's when it started, and I don't have to even go into the story.
Yeah. We
every
all know
time I'd
going.
Go to the East Coast, I'd go over there, and she had a landscape company, and I'd work for her.
How often did you propose to this woman with these?
Nah, that one you don't have to propose to. I just moved a couple rocks she was in.
Yeah.
She was cooking and stuff.
I can't believe you would propose. Like,
there was a time when I was fucking nuts, okay? Like, 98, I went on the road. It was fucking, you know.
How would you explain that?
I was doing Yoda runs, and you're in Michigan the whole week. Yeah. Yoda don't give you a dime for fucking a hotel. And then you would work like a... He would throw you in the shitty rooms at first.
Yeah, I
got attacked by pelicans at one of those fucking Michigan cities with two hot dogs in my hand. You know, the place was a fucking... The guy owned both of them. It was by Bay City, the one club. Saginaw.
Okay.
And he had another one in another town. And I did them both.
Yeah.
And he had theaters. And basically, you paid for your hotel room, and on Saturday, you gave him the receipt... And he'd pay you to the penny.
Really?
Like, if it was $67.32, he'd give you $67.32 for your time. He wore a wig. There was never more than 20 people in that room. But he said he had a theater, and he goes, I got nothing else to do. I'm retired. I own the property.
Yeah.
He goes, what do I care? You know, even if I lose money, it's a tax write-off or something. He was like,
yeah.
I refuse to go back up. And then he had another... Dumpy Theater. That was like what people used to whack off when he turned it into a comedy room.
Oh, okay.
Like, he had one of those places.
But he didn't tell the regulars?
No, he mopped the floor. But it still had that sticky little stinky sperm smell in the air. And they never opened the windows and shit. Oh, it was fucking disgusting.
Oh, yeah.
It was, where the fuck was Mount something? Mount something, Michigan?
I mean, dude, I did one triple run. Or no, I don't even think I did it. I think I was booked for it, and I had got booked for something respectable. And I fucking passed it off to my friends, and they ended up having like the worst time they've ever had. Well, it wasn't Tribble's fault. My buddy decided he needed to pee. They pulled over. Their car got stuck in the snow. They got their car unstuck, got back on the highway, realized dude never peed. So they just pulled over to get stuck, basically.
For people at home, though, saying, what the fuck's a Tribble run? Or Yoda run, they're the entry level runs you make when you get into comedy. And let me tell you something, they're very helpful. I feel that if you don't do them, you're missing out on a big part of your career, because this is the book.
Yeah, remember
that's your book. That is your, everybody likes a book. This is your book. Your book isn't going to be when you marry the chick from that show and you're successful. There's no story there.
Yeah.
You got a fucking nanny and people offer you water and you're funny. That's not the story. The story is when you go on a triple run and you start it with $10.
Yeah.
And you make it fucking work. Like, you got 3/4 of a tank of gas. You already went on that. And guys, you guys got Google, and you could type it in. It tells you how many miles. We had to have the notebook.
We had the Atlas.
The Atlas with the fucking pencil. And you had to do the whole route. And no, please. You know how many times I got lost in this great country of ours? Dude. You have any fucking idea how many times I got lost? And guys, that's the story. All this other shit out here that you hear us talking about, this is bullshit. When you do those triple runs and you go out on two of them, you hate yourself. But when you go back to your local club that Tuesday, people are like, what happened to you? I just went to hell for 2 weeks. You know, and he'd send you the sheets. And on the sheets, he would say, watch your language. These rooms are Mormon. Watch your language. These rooms are Mormon. Watch your language. These rooms are Mormon. One would say, this club is active. If something gets thrown at you, run away and go to your room. Like, it was fucking nuts. Like, that was the itinerary. And it was like, you wake up, you get in your car Monday, the first gig is always, what, 24 hours away.
It was like the Blues Brothers, but
yeah,
comedy.
That's what it is. That's exactly what it is.
Except not the end part where you get the cool concert with Cab Calloway.
But it's so weird how all those weekends, in retrospect, no matter how hard they were, they always worked out. Even if you broke even, somebody would say to you, hey, what are you doing tomorrow, man? I got front row for the Dallas Cowboys against the Giants. And you're like, I'm going to a game with $6 in my pocket, but I'm sitting in the front row. Like, that's, and it makes you appreciate that whole journey.
But also, we remember, now that we're so far away from it, we only remember that those days. But there were plenty of weekends where didn't shit happen, and you're like, what the fuck have I done with my life?
At that time, I got to be honest with you. In my head, I could have been locked up. So I was having the best time of my life with no money. Like, I survived on Subway sandwiches, veggie and cheese.
Yeah.
From Tuesday on the, because you're out there. What are you going to do, come all the way fucking home? When you go out on those things, if you don't go out for 3 weeks, it's not worth your weight in gold.
Yeah.
So you got to go out and disappear for 3 weeks. So on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, you're basically camping when you're a feature act. You're camping. You're at a, you know, you save one night. Like, you go, you know what? I'll save $42.50 for a Motel 6 the last night.
Yeah.
Like a shower and watch TV and drive into the club like a normal human being. But for two nights, you'll sleep at rest stops and take showers at hotels and jump in the pool like a fucking savage. Not wash your balls and brush your teeth in the pool. I mean, but at the end of the day, it all worked out.
I guess you're right. Yeah, I was at an age, I think, at that point. I guess I'm looking at it now at my age. But at that point, I started comedy when I was 19.
Yeah.
So I was 21, 22. So, yeah, I guess I was just happy to be out and about. I really do look at some of those gigs that I did as a youngster, and I'm just like...
How happy were you when you got 3 drink tickets? Tell them the truth.
Oh, dude,
and you were broke. Flat broke. Right now, you walk into a bar, and they go, you the feature? Here's 3 drink tickets. Your heart would stop, Lee. You got 3 free drinks, plus you're going to get another 2 for free from the bartender if you do well.
Yeah. See, or if you just take care of them.
Yeah, give them $10.
Yeah.
And everything works itself out.
Oh, the best was when it was like, food's on us. Because then you're like, well, I got at least 1 or 2 meals taken care of. Because that's your big expense.
That's your big expense, yeah.
Yeah, it's just trying to eat. So every free meal is another... $20 for you to buy weed.
And there was no free breakfasts in those days at the hotel.
Yeah.
The Hindus started that. They give you the free egg and shit with the toast. Remember the first time you went down, Hindus were always cooking breakfast. You're like, what the fuck is this? And they were the nicest people in the world. They always had hard-boiled eggs. I remember eating them. Because at some hotels, they just have hard-boiled eggs and white bread. I would take white bread, toast it, put butter all over it, and just crack hard-boiled eggs on it and just eat like 4 of those fucking things, because I knew those next 8 hours on the road were going to be brutal. Like, the little things like that, like, you prepared yourself for brutality.
Yeah.
Would you ever go back to these gigs again, or were all these things like one times?
I'd like to do it, like, I would do it with Joey, like, so we could like have someone to remember it with, but I would still like, I would stay in a much nicer hotel than I stayed in.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't stay in the hotels, but I'd do the shit gigs again.
Oh, I didn't even mean, like, would you do them now? I meant, like, would you do them like a couple of years in a row? Would you go on tour and be like, oh, I was here last year at the same hotel?
Oh yeah. I did those triple runs from 95 to 99. The last time I did it, no, I'm lying to you guys, 2000. I moved down here and I never did them again. And then he called my manager and he goes, I got a co-headlining. Yeah. Co-headline triple. That's not bad. It was like 150 a show because he paid 50 or 125 or 175. I did that with the goofiest fucking comic ever. Like one of those anti-LA, you guys are all fucking homos that live in LA. You have to suck dick to be successful. They're going to call me. I'm going to make it on the road. Those fucking losers.
Yeah. The guy that's working at Radio Shack right now?
Yeah, yeah. He was terrible. And then...
The guy that was basically in it just to sell the T-shirt after the show.
Right, the T-shirt, and that was his whole living, was triple runs.
Yeah.
That's all he did. He would say that those clubs are commercialized. They just didn't want to hire him, so in his head, he made up something to rationalize why they didn't hire him.
Yeah.
They're all anti-commercial clubs connected to Comedy Central, and I would look at him back then and go, are you fucking just retarded? So
yeah.
It was just 4 days in the car with him. He didn't smoke reefer.
Yeah.
He was a Christian. He had to get in the car Sunday and Saturday night and drive all night. We drove all night, and he dropped me off at some Spokane airport or something. And I fucking got delayed in LAX. I still remember, like, my plane was supposed to land at 2 in the afternoon. I didn't come in till 11. The only good thing was Dean Cain was at the airport. I was like, look at fucking Superman. I'm doing the right thing. I was in the same plane with fucking Superman. You started when you were 19.
This was my first open mic. Yeah.
What made you get on stage?
I was trying to meet chicks.
Flat out. You went to high school, no college.
No, I went to college for a year, and then I hated it. And my buddy, who was one of those dudes that he'd like watch a movie and he'd be that movie. Like, he saw Swingers, dude, and like a week later was like wearing suits and swing dancing all of a sudden.
And writing scripts.
Yeah. Calling me baby all of a sudden. And so he saw, I don't know, it was a Punchline or the King of Comedy or whatever, but one of those older...
Punchline pushed me over the top.
So that dude called, you know, this was 98, so still Yellow Pages time. So he opened up the phone book to comedy clubs in Kansas City, and there was one, and he called him and he goes, how do I become a stand-up comic? And the girl kind of laughed, and she was like, we got an open mic on Mondays, come down and sign up. And he called me and he told me all about it, and I it was kind of intriguing. And then a week later I went and saw him do it, and I was like, I'm funnier than like half these dudes at least. And then about a month later, got the balls to do it. And then I don't think I missed an open mic for a year. And then the only reason I missed one was because I had started a new job and I had to train. But yeah, just got straight into it. And then...
So you've been doing comedy 19 years,
basically. Yeah. And by the time I was 24, it was my job.
And you were based out of Kansas City at the time.
Based out of Kansas City.
And what clubs were you working at the time out of Kansas City as a feature act?
This is very early onset of the improvs, and, you know, Tampa had just opened, doing a lot of those runs, doing, you know, the old Omaha Funny Bone, all those places, just anywhere I could, Fort Wayne Snickers, you know, driving around with some hack headliner that told me he was funnier than me and then wasn't, and then asked me to drive him around Fort Wayne looking for crack.
I remember the Green Bay Funny Bone. I did the Green Bay Funny Bone one time.
That place, I was starting to do the row when that place was still open.
Yeah, it was still open.
Like, I got booked there and I got canceled as a feature.
They never reopened it. They couldn't compete with football, I guess. Something was not right the week I was there.
Well, yeah, that's all those people. I mean,
was not right when I was there. Like, that was one of those clubs that was like South Beach.
Yeah.
It's not going to work. It's like New Orleans. You ever go to a comedy club in New Orleans?
This is never going to work.
Miami, South Beach, all that shit. People walking around naked. They put three fucking clubs down there. I got booked once to a place that was four people there. You're not going to compete with that shit.
Yeah.
And I think that that was the problem in Green Bay. I loved the city. I fucking went up there. I went to the game. And that's what I did. You know, you go from that $500 a week feature act to $650.
Yeah.
$650, that loosens you up a little week.
Yeah, yeah.
You take a couple nights off a blow. Now Sunday you go to a baseball game. So I got into that for a while. That was fun. I would go to these cities and go to baseball games on Sunday and then show up to the club.
That's my favorite.
7 o'clock. I love doing that. That's a blast. On a away weekend, and you know you're going to go, you know, to the, and you wouldn't know. It wasn't like, when I was doing it, it wasn't like, hold on, before I take that week, let me see if the Packers are in town that week.
No, you just get into town and ask the host. You go, hey, are they in town this week? Oh, yeah, I think they are in town this week.
You can still get tickets. You go down there with the cheeseheads, and you're like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Like, that was what I still, like, Lee asked a really interesting question in retrospect. Lee, between me and you, right now, I would give my arm to go on 2 weeks of triple runs to places that nobody goes to. We would sell out the rooms. Yeah. We'll have a great, I don't care if it's a Monday night in those towns. There's nothing to do on some of those triple towns. You'll drive for 2 hours, and they actually put fake deer up. That's where you drive sometimes, where there's no civilization. Your phone is not going to work. You better have a tank of gas, and then you get to this little hotel, and you go to the back, and there's 350 people on a Saturday night, and they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
You could tell them whatever you want. I did a movie with Brad Pitt. I did a movie with Denny. They don't know nothing.
And they could care less.
They could care less. They're just going out to drink, laugh, and then the band comes on after us.
Yeah. And you're if you have a good set, you're a fucking god.
Oh my god.
You're a fucking god. Like, dads are like, here's my daughter, please fuck her. I don't care if it's in front of me.
It really is crazy in those small towns how much they appreciate comedy when you go there.
Dude, I walked in, and you know, I'm starting to do this now where, like, if I have a gig, like, in a big city, I'll try to book, like, a small town gig nearby. Like, Salida, Colorado is, like, one of my most favorite places to go ever. It's just a small town. But after the show, dude, me and the feature act walked into the restaurant across the street, and people applauded when we walked in the fucking door. Like, where does that happen? Nowhere. Except for those small towns. It's just like, and that's, you're right. That's what's great about going into these places. It's just like, you just get, you're literally like Caesar.
I could write a book just from 1995 to 2000. That would end in 2000.
Joey Diaz, The Garage Days?
The Road. Like, broke, eluding creditors. Like, I got divorced. Things weren't working out. I went into major debt. And one day I said, you know what? I was showing up to one-nighters. And the manager would go, somebody just called here for you. They left a number. And I thought it was HBO.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd call him back. And I was like, Mr. Diaz, Discover card. I go, oh, my God. So I disconnected everything I owned. And I just got in the car. I put a fucking pole in the back. I put clothes, a football, a Frisbee. Oh, the door's open. I put everything anti-boredom.
Yeah.
And as the weeks pack, your car blows up and you figure out how to fix it.
Oh.
The radiator would blow and you'd buy that thing for a dollar. You put it into your radiator, ping, pang, boom.
Yeah, yeah.
It gets you to the next triple.
Oh, for the best.
Run. I got arrested shoplifting a tent in Twin Falls, Idaho. I got arrested for assault in Twin Falls, Idaho. Oh, yeah. On those triple runs, I was a fucking menace on those things.
Separate incident or same incident or a separate incident?
They didn't really catch me shoplifting. They caught me bringing the tent back and collecting the $178.
Right. Okay.
But they didn't catch me till after the fact. They let me keep the money, the dumb fucks that they were. The assault charge was after a week. And Trimble had 2 weeks in a row that he would have a Wednesday at one club and a Thursday at the other club, right across the street.
Yeah, yeah.
So the 1 week I'm in Twin Falls on Wednesday, and I got to go back to the next week on Thursday. The two guys that got thrown out show up to the fucking mall, and I hit them with a fucking tray of Chinese food, and I got arrested, and they let me out at 5 to 9 right before the show started. And I ended up fingering an Indian chick with a yeast infection that night. He's better than Uncle Joey, you know what I'm saying?
That's not something you find out till after.
That's, you know, getting in a car, you know, getting paid $250 and having $50 because you bought an 8-ball. That's on you, bitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's on you, bitch. You shouldn't have bought that because you buy the 8-ball and you're like, well, it'll last me for 4 weekends. It ain't going to last you for 4 weekends.
No, no, it'll last you
1 day.
You're
going to kill in that triple hotel room and be paranoid and talk to fucking weird people. And that's what I do. Now I'd have to live on $50. 20 of it was gas.
Yeah.
So that's $30. That's 15 a day for food, shelter. I'd have a box of quarters in the back. You always had weed.
Oh, absolutely. Well, see, yeah, that was always my thing.
That was the thing. You always had weed.
I always had weed. And that's the only thing that gets you through that shit.
I would do it in a heartbeat, but I couldn't be away from my family for 2 weeks.
Yeah, that'd be tough.
That's the point I am in my life now. You know, she's getting to an age now that when I'm not around, bro, she starts asking.
Yeah.
And, you know, naturally it breaks your fucking heart. You're in Pittsburgh, you know. But I am keeping the lights on, you know, yeah, so yeah. I have to rationalize it that way and say I'm keeping the lights on. But I'm getting to a point where it's going to be tough pretty soon. She's one day she's going to raise her hand and go, I'm going with you. You know, she's a free spirit. I can see it already.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I got her and the mother on a fucking plane with me, or her by herself. She always talks about getting on a plane with me. Mommy, you stay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to go with daddy, you know what I'm saying, and see what he does. You know, but I don't want to take it to a fucking gig.
No, 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 no.
I can't have her watch me do stand-up at this point, because then she's, I don't want her to be a class clown. I don't ever want her to know I do stand-up, too.
Oh, she doesn't even know you do stand-up.
She's fucking 4.
Oh.
She's 4, yeah. She doesn't dick. She don't know dick. I tell her work, and that covers all the bases.
Tell her you're Superman. She can't
I tell her I'm Spider-Man's cousin, and she just looks at me, daddy, the suit won't fit or something. She makes some fucking.
Well, I'm a cousin. I'm the stats guy. I do a lot of tech off stuff.
You know, you sit here and you go, how much work did I put? Like, I put a segment of my life into comedy. I was talking to Josh Wolf today, and I said, I got into comedy. Like, I was the type of guy that always ran and walked a lot. When I moved to L.A., I got into comedy, and I forgot about health, eating. You know, all I thought about was getting on stage and doing drugs and having a good time at the fucking club. But I was always writing, and I always hung in there. You know, I would go home coked up and write 10 pages of material. The next day you wake up and it's all garbage, but at least you move the pen around a little bit, you know. So,
but we also came up at a time, me at the end of a time, when you could do, like, when we were still, it was okay to be a bit of a rock star a little bit. Now all these, especially all the people younger than us.
No, there's nobody causing havoc on the road.
No, 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 no. They're
it's
like,
over. It's
you ask
over.
For weed at a club now, they're like, what?
No, no, they still wait for Uncle Joey. I got him trained. These motherfuckers know. I got him trained now.
Yeah, but it used to be like they would walk in the green room and just be like, who needs weed? Who needs blow? You know, it was rock star. And now we're, and now most of Funny Bones and Improvs are at a mall. You know, you're 3 doors down from a GNC. It's just, it's a different thing.
There is nobody on the road today causing problems. There's nobody canceling shows.
No.
There's nobody, you hear people falling off stools, people canceling radio.
No.
They can't find them the next day. Those days, they won't tolerate it, I don't think.
No, there's too much talent out there.
There's too much talent. I don't think they could handle it now. I don't think they could handle Mitch Hedberg now. Towards the end, Mitch was canceling gigs.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And fucking, you know, it was just a nightmare towards the end, and it was accepted. He was Mitch Hedberg. You know, he would just mention his name and he would sell out 4 fucking shows on the Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and then they couldn't wake him up. I mean, you know, it was like, it was very sad. I mean, it was just, and you heard it on Monday. Yeah. You know, it was all over the wire on Monday. There was no internet in those days. It was the phone burning.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Mitch? Did you hear about fucking this guy? I remember when, what's his name, was on the tear for a while. George Lopez.
Oh, yeah.
When I first got into comedy, when I first moved out here, George Lopez was on a tear.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I met him at a show once, and he was very nice to me. And one day, I'm going to D.C. Dulles. I'm delayed. And I walk into the airport. I hear, Joey D., George Lopez, hey, how you doing? You delayed? I'm delayed. Tequila time. I'm like, oh, no. And I went over. And in those days, I could handle the tequila. I was probably coming down from some Martian dust for the night before. This motherfucker told the fucking guy at the bar to leave the bottle there.
Yeah.
And he put like a card down. And we sat there. I got on that plane. I slept the whole way. Stevie Wonder was on the plane. I didn't give a fuck. I slept the whole fucking way to Dulles. I was hammered. And then I went down to Miami, and they said, no, it's not, what's his name? It's George Lopez you're featuring for. So Tuesday, he fucking did great. In those days, he was killing. Yeah. Killing. Right before Sandra Bullock discovered him, he was killing. He killed Tuesday. He killed Wednesday. Thursday, I come out, and he snapped, dog. Like, he destroyed the room. But by the time he went up on stage, he had already a few tequilas in him. And then he came on fucking stage, and he sat at that improv with us. I don't know if... No, I don't think he was doing... He wasn't a drug addict at all. I know I was doing powder, so that's what was keeping me alive next to him. And the next morning, my phone's ringing off the hook in that fucking Miami condo. Do you know which one I'm talking about?
Oh, the one that was right across the street?
Across the street, the condo of death. Yeah. Oh, my God, that was the condo of death.
Dude, I remember I scored weed from a guy, like, just standing out on the balcony.
Yeah, that balcony there.
And I'd be sitting there, and the guy's like, this guy came out, and he's like, what's up, man? I was like, man, I could use some weed. He's like, I got you. It was that easy. Like, I fucking loved that condo.
You have no idea what I did in that fucking condo.
And see, now I'm glad I know.
That was the condo with a bed. You had to pull it from this.
It was a Charlie bed.
It was a Charlie bed. I used to tie chicks up and leave the ropes, just cut them loose in the morning and shit. I used to leave up dog. I went in there one time after Pablo. There was those poppers everywhere. Those, oh, fuck. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
There was a couple condos that were known. That one, El Paso.
I never did El Paso.
Oh. As soon as you went to El Paso, there'd be a note. Go up on top of the cabinet in the condo, and there'd be like a fucking grandma blow wing. It was everywhere. You could buy Coke for 5 cents in El Paso in those days. You know? They were just, but that condo in Coconut Grove was, they used to have a condo around the corner. When I first went to Coconut Grove, I went there. I was very respectful. I was very honored to be there. I was going to go up in front of Cubans. So in those days, the condo was 2 or 3 blocks away. And you didn't hear a fucking peep, Lee. You were like, this sucks. Yeah. So in those days, comedy was Tuesday through Sunday. So Tuesday night sucked. You know, the show ended at 9:30 and there were people there, but I didn't really have money to party, you know? And even if I did, this town sucks. I walked back to the condo and I didn't hear nothing.
Yeah.
By Thursday, I'm fucking starving. I smoke some weed, I'm starving. I walk down to that thing, and I gotta be honest with you, there must have been 10,000 people on those streets. Cars couldn't get there. That's in Coconut Grove. Was Coconut
was
Grove.
The place. 98. Yeah, yeah.
It was fucking hard. It was like, I've been in my house for 2 fucking days and thinking that this was dead. This just comes alive at 11.
Yeah.
When I'd be walking back at 9:30, the streets would be dead. Dead. You walk out an hour and a half later. That hotel was where all the basketball players stayed. Whoever played the Miami Heat,
One
up the corner from the improv.
Oh, that's Sinesta.
That, whatever that fucking place is, walking distance from the improv across from the News Cafe when the News Cafe was there.
Yeah.
That hotel was where the Knicks and anybody stayed there that played the Heat. So it was always happening. They had an Italian restaurant under the Coconut Grove Improv that it was a fucking fine eatery, like champagne glasses.
That was back when it was on the third floor.
On the third floor, but at 11 o'clock, chicks would be naked dancing on the table. You come down and you look and there'd be a woman topless. Because the Italian would go crazy. They'd start giving out powder in there, and there would be a guy playing the piano.
Did you work there, or was she just like at the restaurant?
She was downstairs at the restaurant at night. There was various nights when I was walking past the improv, and I looked in there with $22 in my pocket and those Slurpee drinks that they had.
That's right. That place right outside. It was the
140
different ICs that
ICs
had liquor.
And shit. Yeah. So if you work the improv, they give you 2 free drinks. I get the strongest one, the 140 fucking...
it was just basically Bacardi 151 frozen.
Yeah, Bacardi 151 frozen with red.
They'd set it on fire.
Oh, you'd wake up in the morning, you puke, it'd be red, your kidney blew up. Dude. Horrible. This little mall...
I've never prayed for death more than in Florida.
By Sunday night, you would be green.
Yeah.
By Sunday night, from all the sugar and the blow and the not sleeping, your skin would be green. You got sick of eating because they had
Sorry.
They used to have the stuffed flounder with lobster meat and shrimp. Do you remember that? That was especially the Miami Improv.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The stuffed flounder with the lobster meat and the shrimp.
Well,
I would eat two of those. And in my mind, I'd go, the cocaine is gone. I'm ready fucking snort and blow. The iodine and the blow, the fish killed the fucking coke. I'm ready to go.
My favorite was the Hollywood, Florida Improv. Because they had bars down there that wouldn't even open till 2 in the morning. So you do shows. You do 3 shows on a Saturday. Get out there at like 1:30. Get into a club that just opened. I'd drink till 5. And then I'd walk into the Hard Rock and take tourist money and poker for fucking 3 hours. And then I'd go upstairs at 9 a.m. and order breakfast with other people's money. Because the first night I was there in Fort Lauderdale, I was like, I'm paying poker with this guy. And we went to the end and he had nothing. Like, why did you stay in this long? He goes, son, I'm in here to gamble, not play poker. From then on, I knew that these motherfuckers were just drunk. So I would just come in like fucking Doc Holliday and just take these motherfuckers. I ended up doubling my merch money at the poker table. Just coming home, getting wasted. It was awesome.
One of the things I always loved about you was you're a professional. I mean, when you were out there, there was no faking it. This is not the guy that goes on stage with a beer bottle to let people know. No, you were fucking going.
Yeah.
You go. You know, yeah. That's what I always loved about you. When I first met him, this fucking dude is the real deal. He's not one of these candy motherfuckers that walks around and sips a drink on stage. Who's drinking tequila? Ooh, fuck you. I drank tequila for breakfast, bitch.
Yeah.
Smell my breath.
I literally just woke up.
Yeah, like he just woke up. Like this, it's a different life. You know, and then we grow up and we go, what the fuck am I doing? These people are paying to come see me. You know,
yeah, I'm not
featured anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, we were talking earlier about how much a feature act is the second comic that goes on stage. There's zero responsibility. Your responsibility is to do 2 things. Make them laugh for 25 minutes and try to kill the headliner, which you never do. Yeah. Unless you're local and you hit them with local references, then the guy swims in debt for 2 nights until he figures out what the fuck
right.
you're doing.
That's right.
Then he starts coming up with local references.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you start talking about the local news,
yeah.
The judge who got arrested for fucking the black fucking midget, and they just blow up. And this guy's in the back going, I forgot to read the paper. What the fuck did I do? I read USA Today. I should have read the Chattanooga Times.
Oh, dude. I don't know how many. Yeah. There's so many times on Thursday you're just looking at the kid go, wait till Saturday, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, you're like, go ahead.
I just landed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm still tired. You do you.
It's a different life to be a feature act. And it's, I think I did it from 95 to 2005. I mean, that was a really good feature act.
Like, yeah.
And from time to time, people would let you headline on Wednesday. But yeah. I tell people all the time, I didn't become a real headliner until about 6 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, I was just up there. I had an hour, big fucking deal. No. It's the guys like you that are wordsmiths. You really put the time in. That's completely different. I was never a headliner like that till the podcast and things started. And I'm like, fuck, I can't just go up there and play Johnny Acapella.
Yeah,
that doesn't cut it when people are paying $20. You got to go out there with your heart and lay it on the fucking line so they can go home and go, what the fuck did we just see?
Yeah.
This is crazy. You lay it down, too. I love that when I go on the road to some clubs, I'm like, who comes in here and fucks people up? And they're like, oh, fucking Chris Porter. And I'm like, you guys didn't know. Like, Minneapolis was the real shock. There was one other club I went to that you were either coming or you had just left 3 weeks early.
Well,
I don't know if it was Cleveland. I don't know where the fuck it was.
Well, Bronson's House of Comedy, I had never played there.
No,
before.
That's what they
said.
So,
yeah, they were like, they had no idea. And also, my on stage, I mean, it's still me. The person I play on stage is much angrier and abrupt than I am. So when I come in, I'm like, hey, how's it going? It's super nice to meet you. They're like, well, who's this fucking idiot? And then I get on stage and I fucking bring the heat. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's that guy.
It's been a weird... when did you get on Last Comic Standing? Not the first season.
That was season 4. That was 10 years ago. 11 years ago.
And that was with Ralphie.
No, that was 2 seasons after Ralphie.
Wow.
Yeah.
So Ralphie was on the second season.
He was on season 2. Then they had season 3 that had like... Alonzo won it.
Okay.
It was season 1 versus season 2, I think. And then they canceled it like before they announced it. And then I was in the season with fucking Gabriel and Josh Blue and Ty Barnett and Roz G and all those.
Who won that year?
Josh Blue.
Josh Blue.
But Gabe got ejected for using his cell phone. So.
Right.
We kind of dodged a huge bullet.
That's right. He was in the house for 2 weeks or something like that. He lasted like.
Yeah, we were on the boat and, you know, we all knew he was talking to his girl. None of us gave a fuck. You know, they have a bunch of bullshit rules because they're like, oh, he could be talking to writers. I'm like, it's fucking Fluffy, dude. He's not talking to anybody. And but we knew his girlfriend had just had surgery or whatever, so we're all cool with it. But he got caught on camera texting her. And so they're like, you got to go.
How crazy is that?
Yeah.
Fuck.
And the funny thing is, they did interviews with all of us, and literally 9 of the 11 of us were like, yeah, we're fine with it. Like, we know what he's doing, and we're happy that he's kind of got the balls to do it. And they played the two chicks that were like, well, rules are rules. So, yeah.
Now, you have to go in a house then, though.
Yeah, we did. We had to, well, we didn't have a house. We were on the Queen Mary for 10 days. Yeah.
Do you have to share a room? I'm sorry, it was so long ago, I don't remember if you had to.
Well, I shared a room with Bill Dwyer, but he got eliminated pretty quickly, so I had my own room for most of
it. Did you smoke weed on the boat?
No, that was the first thing I did as soon as I was off the boat, was I went straight to my friend's house and got
10 days on a ship with no reefer?
Dude, it was a bummer.
Did they search you on the way in?
Well,
they just said, don't bring marijuana, it's maritime rules. Fuck you.
No, I had weed in the... I had weed during the semifinals and whatnot. Trying to think. I think I just run out. But we were on camera at all times. There were cameras everywhere. So there wasn't anywhere we could go.
I would have lost those motherfuckers. I would have flattened their tires. You know me. I'm a gas one. I would have put sugar in their gas tank. They would have got hit right before they go on the 101. The car stalls. I'm a fucking master of flattery with this.
We turned into big drunks on that boat for sure. Because as soon as we got done filming all the shit, it was just like, it was poker and drinks.
But they shot you 24 hours a day.
Yeah, we were on camera. Like, there were cameras.
They had cameras in your room, right?
Yeah, they had cameras in our room.
Oh, my God. You couldn't whack off.
And as soon as the first person woke up, they had fluorescent lights that came on. And so as soon as the first person was up, everyone was up. And I mean, I'm sure they, somewhere in an NBC vault, there's video of me screaming at a security camera going, are you fucking kidding? Like, I'm just losing my mind. Like, just turn off the lights so I can sleep. And they wouldn't do it.
I think that's like the worst part about reality TV. Like, that's, I worked on the post side of reality TV when I first moved here. And they're just constantly, and they have people directing the cameras. They have producers there all night, so they'll zoom in on you when you're sleeping to get shots of that. I don't think I could be, like, whenever I saw The Real World and there were like 4 people in a room sleeping together, I would be out immediately.
You know, I shot a presentation for Animal Planet like a month ago, and I really realized how much, like, what I could do and what I can do. Like, me and the guy are great friends now. But he goes, the first couple of days, it was really hard to crack your nut because, you know what, man? If this is a job, this is a job. But I really don't want to leave my house.
Yeah.
Okay, you want to tape me from jumping in the lift and going to the airport? That's fine. The guy would go to me. And then one day, he would always say to me, well, what cats will come out? Because we shot a thing about cats. I must have told this fucking guy 80 times that these cats ain't gonna come out. And one fucking day I'm walking and he asked my wife, like, after he asked me 80 times, he thought it was cute. You know what I'm saying? Like, those motherfuckers. And I had to pull him aside and I go, listen, when I tell you something, I only tell you one fucking time. I don't give a fuck what executive you are, right? He just turned pale.
Yeah.
And he apologized later. And I realized that I'm at a point right now, I don't want a camera in my fucking face anymore. I enjoy doing this, but for me to have people in my home and look in my bathroom and me in my bed, listen, I don't need it that much. I don't want to. It's rough. People have no idea. It's fucking rough.
I woke up one morning during Last Comic Standing with a 3-person camera crew staring at me. Like, sound guy, audio guy, mic guy, just staring at me as I wake up, like, oh, hey guys, Like, good morning. I have a boner. Sorry.
Like, it's not bad enough. We got to write material and everything. But then you got to push the envelope. Listen, I don't mind doing it, but 5 hours a day, let me get my head together. Let me write at Starbucks. Let me go to the library. Let me jerk off. Let me smoke a bowl of weed. You can't be, how about from 8 to fucking 12, you're on me or whatever. You know, like, yeah. I don't mind that. But I can't have you following me. That day is sunk. That ship sunk years
ago. What about no TV, no internet, no phones?
That's not going to happen. That's not worth it to me either. There's no reason why you should do that to me. That's just a personal thing you come up with to bust my balls. You know, you have a family. Really?
Yeah.
Really? No, I don't think so, bro. You know, you can't make the exclusion for the family. Do you have a family? Yeah. Then how about you come in the fucking house with me? Yeah, and not call your fucking family for a week. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
No. That's why even with Animal Planet and the presentation, I was very excited about it, but then I thought about the process. Yeah. And I'll do it with contingencies. My house is all fucking limits. I don't want nobody around my fucking house. I don't want no camera creepy people waking me up. I'm upsetting my animals. It's not worth the aggravation, bro. You know?
Yeah, I was 26 when I mean, to be fair, like,
you didn't know.
For what Last Comic
Standing? You didn't know. Yeah, what did for you was brilliant.
Yeah, and it wasn't my house. I was staying on a ship that had been docked for 12 years or whatever. Like, so, like, I knew I was in for, but yeah, I mean, it's just, but in those moments, you're just like, what the fuck
am I getting myself into? Yeah. No, you don't know. Somebody comes up to you and says, we're going to pay you fucking this. You're going to be on a national show. Yeah. You're a young comic. You're like, okay, except when you're taking a shit. And there's a camera in that fucking bathroom. Yeah. You know, is that really necessary? And you know what? 10 days is 10 days.
Yeah.
I think by 14 days, people start to snap and there'll be arguments. And
oh, dude, we had talks at lunch off camera just about, like, people sneaking. Like, it was like a bet who could jerk off. And it was just like, how'd you do it? And, you know, one of them would just be like, I just did it, like, in front of the cameras. If they want to show it, they can show it. If they want to watch, I don't give a fuck. Like, I just did it. And it was like, I remember I snuck to a bathroom to do it because I was like, there's no cameras in here. And it's been a week. Like, I got to drain this bitch.
But it was a great experience all in all.
Dude, it changed my life. Dude, I literally make 10 times as much money that year than I did, like,
the 10 years previous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I made more in 1 week that year than I did the year previous.
Like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy how fast it rose.
And I knew it when it was happening. I was like, I made more this week than I made all last year. And, you know, that ended a long time ago. But in that 9-11 months, that was good times.
I remember Ralphie lost at that fan, and I was supposed to open for him the week after Last Comic ended. And yeah. I got Spider-Man 2.
Okay.
And John Wessling went. And I remember people calling me going, when he got to the last stop, there was 300 people waiting for him outside in those days. Like, it was that huge. The country had really embraced it. It was fucking huge.
Yeah.
I had never even I never even thought about standing online. I'm like, I'm not going down there.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go down there. I was, like, embarrassed. I'm like, I don't know what I'm going to do if I go down there. And I would watch the audition tapes. And I would watch top comics go out of there losing their fucking mind.
Yeah.
Who was the one guy? Here, now you can close that for me, my love. There was one fucking guy 1 year that went nuts. I forget what his name is. And he told the cameras to go fuck themselves in the audition, that he sells out rooms everywhere. And
I don't know who that is, but I know I fucking flipped out at one point.
Did you?
Shooting. Fuck yeah, dude. We're going to bed at like 11 at night. We're wasted. We'd been playing poker all night. And they're like, oh, call time's 2 a.m. We're like, fucking, like, in 3 hours? Yeah, and we shot the Adam Carolla thing. But for whatever reason, we didn't go on till 5. We got there at like 3 in the morning. It was just a fucking psychological ploy to keep us up. So when we got in, we were exhausted or whatever. But when we got back, they kept us up because they said that we're all going to bed. And they're like, no, we're having breakfast. And so then we're like, we don't want breakfast. We just want to go to bed. And they're like, well, you have to stay up for breakfast. And then we got up there and there was no breakfast. They were like, oh, it's not ready yet. And me and another comic fucking lost our minds, like, fucking pushing over furniture. Like, what the fuck? Like, we didn't even want this shit. And you made us stay up for it.
Yeah, no.
Like, and we lost, and you know, they didn't show any of that. They could have. Like, I was definitely scared.
They didn't? I'm surprised.
No, they would never do something to discredit themselves.
I thought they would
make themselves look like savages and no.
I thought they were going to use it for, like, next week on Last Comic Standing.
They use some of it, but not. If, like, two comics argue with something, they'd use it to create a little bit of drama, but.
Yeah.
But no.
Something where they're keeping us up and we're like, we don't want this and you're making us stay up for it. You know, that's hard to fucking spin.
You know, when I got here, I was having no success as a comic. So I figured for me to slip out the back door, I would become an actor, book roles, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, now in hindsight, because I had this desire, you know, I at the time, I ignored a lot of things that happened the first 2 years. Like, you know, again, I'm not crying because it was one of the biggest fucking movie stupid things I ever did in one day. What's the movie with fucking David Spade? I think when he fights the fucking midget in the beginning and...
Is that Joe Dirt?
I don't fucking know. I did one of those movies.
Okay.
I was one of the boxing trainers to the midget and Bobby Slayton was the ring announcer.
Okay.
Our call time was 5 a.m. You know what time we shot? 12:15 at night. Like most human beings that are normal would go, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you.
That's not even close.
Like, you're not even close. Again, it was twilight time. You have no idea. So when you work on a film, the first 8 hours is whatever. Then the second 2 hours is time and a half. Then the 2 hours after that is like double fucking time.
Yeah.
And after that, they have to pay you for the whole fucking day all over again, even if you stay there for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Those big budgeted movies back in 98 when they didn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I got home at 3:30 in the morning, but it was like in those days, it was like a $5,000 check. I had never seen a check for $5,000 for some stupid movie. But I was there the whole day. When I shot basketball, I didn't know what I got myself into.
Yeah.
I was a dirty comic. I don't even know what the fuck's going on. I don't know what. Go to your mark. What are you talking about? Mark are you? I didn't know nothing.
I don't know, Mark.
There's, I knew nothing.
I know Steve.
I'm a comic. You tell me to be there at 7:15, it's because I'm going on stage at 8:15.
Yeah.
You tell me to be there at 7:45, it's because I'm going on stage at 8:15, 8:30. I would get there at 5 in the morning, and they would come to me at 10 at night and go, you're wrapped. You made me come all the way down here not knowing that I was getting scale. I'm not crying. But there's a lot of situations like that. The longest show, you don't know how many times they cut us?
Oh, yeah.
And as you're going into the hotel room, they call you and go, we're coming back, guys. All the tattoos got to get. And by the time they put the tattoos and the shoulder pads on you, we lost the light. See you at 6 tomorrow morning.
Oh, you're like, son of a bitch.
Oh, my fucking God. But, you know, when I did that movie, there was a certain contract.
Yeah.
This is how they got you. They paid you okay. But whether you worked or not, you still had to be there 5 days a week.
Oh, okay.
It was like a C contract. Until you shot out, you had to be there every day. They didn't give a fuck because they might want to shoot a different scene. So you would wait there all day. That's what got me the toughness of learning how to adjust on films. It took me 5 years to work around sets to not get pissed off by the time I fucking left. To not get into an argument. You know, when I got here, if you shot if you went for a commercial and it said August 8th through August 13th, that means they were going to shoot Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Guess what? If your commercial shot Thursday in those days, they'd say, see you Monday.
Yeah.
And you went there, you brought a magazine, you got sun, you got high, and you went home after 8 hours. But they paid you for the whole week. Book a commercial today, Jack. When you get there, it says August 8th to the 13th. And you're going home going like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Oh, and all of a sudden they call you like, you're working one day. And you get there at 8, and they're like, we're shooting 4 commercials today. You're going to be wrapped by 10. You're like, you motherless fuck. You just ruined my fucking day for 2 fucking hours. Because by that point, you want overtime. When I go to a set, I want to be there all day. Like now.
Yeah.
I want to be there all day. But now that don't exist no more.
Yeah.
Now you get there, and they're like, you're going to be at home by lunch. And you're like, are you fucking serious? I'm really just going to get $6.95 a day plus 10. What the fuck? You're looking for that overtime.
Yeah.
But no, that's how I learned. And that was an education to me, sitting around all day and, you know, you got all this energy and you want to use the phone and you and I didn't bring a computer in those days. I would just show up and be in a fucking room smaller than this staring at a toilet for 12 hours. Then once I started getting representation, then they give you a room with a TV, but the VCR don't work. You know, the bathroom don't flush. Then they give you, then they start giving you more stuff, you know, like because your agent says, hey, no fucking, like I would do these Disney $100 a day movies. It was like prison.
Yeah.
This is fucking Disney. And they're putting in these trailers that they had like Nazi villains in there and shit like that. They had like fucking, they're like this. If you fart, the whole trailer would stink.
Yeah.
You know, those things, you get pissed off when you work those things. You're like, why did I even take this fucking stupid job?
Oh, man.
This is what we chose. And we forget the abuse we took.
Yeah, but also I go home and I like tell my friend, try bitching about that to your friends back home.
Oh, I'm not bitching. I'm just saying that.
Yeah. But you're like, they're like, how's life with you? And you're like, oh, well, fuck, I only made $6.95 yesterday. And they're like, fuck
what
you.
What the fuck are you talking about?
I made
about?
That last week, you fucking prick.
I made that last month.
Yeah.
Yep. $6.95 plus scale. Is that what the union is now? Have you worked recently or anything?
Nah, it's more than that. Because I remember, you know, even during last comic 10 years ago, we were making $7-something.
Yeah, $7-something. That was after, though.
Yeah, that was
after. That's after.
Yeah.
After. And they merged, so now they really don't want to pay.
Yeah.
Like, now you got a movie, and you're like, what? I'll stay home. I'll stay home. By the time I get to Marina Del Rey every day, and the aggravation, and the fucking dry cleaning, I'm breaking even. Forget it. Like, you can't believe you live here anymore.
Yeah.
Like, you really can't. Like, you move out here, you take acting lessons, and one day you're like, well, you know, people tell you, come on, wait till you book a pilot. Yeah. You're going to make $50,000. I never made more than $2,000 for a pilot. I was always the shit fucking buried on the
total. $50,000 is for the guy that wrote it and it starred in it and fucking did all, like, the lottery winner.
Please. No, that's the thing with, and people at home going, Joey, what the fuck are you talking about? I had to work 2 weeks, and I'm not complaining about that. When you first get there and you don't know what you're going for and you're sitting there for 8 hours, it does get aggravating the first couple of times, regardless of what you're making, because you've been working all your life. You came here to work. You didn't come here to fucking sit down, you know?
It's weird because you don't have the check right there, so it's still annoying. You just got, it doesn't matter how much you're making. People can still get annoyed about anything.
Wow.
I don't know about that, because I knew when I was in Last Comic Standing, I was like, oh, well, I'm making $700, $800 today. And I used to make that a week.
You could hit me in the head with a hammer for $800 a day 2 times.
Yeah.
At that point, when you first move here.
As long as I get a lunch in between
the
hits.
Yeah, a little lunch in between the hits. You know, when you first move here, it's $15 a spot. $12.50 at the improv. And you're trying to make fucking rent, which is minimal.
Yeah.
It's $200 your rent. You live with 3 savages.
You're living
the house smells like shit.
You sleep in a hallway.
It's
your hallway.
Oh, my God. My friend was a coke dealer, and he had one of his friends living in the closet, and it was the funniest thing in the world. I'd go in and buy coke at 4 a.m. He'd open up the closet door, like the closet under the steps.
Yeah.
And I looked in there one day. It was beautiful.
Yeah. He had it all set up.
He had lights in there. He had a little fan for ventilation.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Well, if you're going to live in a closet, you can do it.
I mean, it was beautiful. He had posters up. He had a little Nintendo and a computer.
Yeah.
And he goes, I come in here, and I put the fan on, and I crack the door, and I get ventilation. No windows, but he was happy with what he had. I got a letter from Ari today.
Yeah?
How long has it been?
January 1st, he left, I think.
Ari.
Shafir?
Oh, yeah. He sent you a letter? Like from, Titanic style?
Yeah, from fucking wherever he is, some other country.
Really?
Didn't even tell me where he was at. Just wrote a New York return address. It had via airmail on it, a bunch of Chinese writing, Russian writing. It went through fucking like 19 customs, a dog. And it was really funny because... it was very interesting. He said that he told me the places where he had been.
Yeah.
And he said that he couldn't get drugs at those places, so he's been drug-free for the whole time on this trip, and it really cleared his mind, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's staying at hostels with 12 to 16 people sleeping in the room, And at first he was very scared, but it was very humbling for him. Like, he's, you know, he was here for a long time. And yeah, I think that, well, my wife asked me, and I said, you know, if I didn't have you and I didn't have the kid, and you go on the road for 6 weeks in a row, you come back, that thing you shot didn't get picked up. One day you go, you know what? I just want to go to fucking somewhere for 6 weeks and think about my fate.
Yeah, yeah.
Gabriel Iglesias just did it. Gabriel canceled his tour.
Yeah, he had a health problem, though, right?
No, he had, you know, one day you wake up and you go, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been everywhere. I've done arenas. I've done big fucking productions and movies. But at the same time, I've neglected a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's like I neglected my health when I first moved to L.A. When you go on, you know, and again, this is not somebody crying or, you know, we were talking about plane rides, how you put earplugs in before you travel because the noises at the airport, you know. Now, like, we've been flying for 20 years. We prepare ourselves to fly. I'm ready for a delay. I got weed sticks. I got Xanax. I got an iPod. Yeah. I got a notebook. I got a pen. I got a vapor pen. I mean, I'm ready to fly. You want to delay me? That's fine. I'm going to get fucked up at this airport. I got edibles hidden somewhere.
Oh, you know, absolutely.
Always, always. But you do that every fucking week. And here's a guy that, listen, it was in Forbes. He made $10 million. He made $10 million, but if you pull up his schedule for the last 10 years, he only takes, like, July off, if that, every year. Like, if that. You know, he shoots 2 TV shows. He bought a warehouse. You know, he's in demand. He travels abroad. I mean, this guy does 2 shows on Christmas fucking day.
Yeah.
Sells out the Irvine Improv on Christmas Day. Does an 18 and over show. You know, you got to come home one day and go, wait a second, I got to... Let me slow down for 6 weeks and see where I want to go. Ari one day called me. Ari canceled the schedule last year.
Okay.
Ari canceled, called his agent one day and said, cancel the rest of my work.
Yeah.
And the agent was like, I don't know what's going on. And then Ari just wanted to take a fucking vacation. I mean, he's been here working hard, you know. I think it's better to want than to have. I got a call from a friend of mine today, Mr. Fucking, I'm shooting a pilot.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants to shoot a fucking pilot and sell it to somebody. I don't ever raise my hand because it's none of my business. I always know it's bad business to shoot a pilot and try to sell it.
Yeah.
No, it's very hard to shoot a pilot and try to sell in today's economy. Absolutely. I walk in there with somebody.
That's backwards.
Yeah. He wants to walk in there, and I appreciate his thing and his veracity. You never can get in somebody's way. But he got a call, and he was supposed to shoot the pilot at 3 o'clock with a name.
Okay.
Guys, a name.
Yeah.
And at 8 in the morning, he got a call. The guy canceled. The guy goes, here's the story. I got to do a photo shoot in New York, and because of the snowstorm, I can't go on Thursday. They want me to fly in tonight.
Yeah.
So this guy
was literally fucked by God.
You know, fucked by God at the last goddamn minute. That's my foot. I'm sorry. It did sound like a knock.
It did sound like a knock. Like, man, God's fucking on top of it.
But it's, what are we talking about? I got too high there for a second.
Oh, you're...
Two.
Huh?
Mr. Shoot a Pilot.
Oh, right.
Mr. Shoot a Pilot calls, and that's, you know, he fucking tells me that the guy canceled them at last minute, you know.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the purpose of the story was anymore. That's how high I am. Thank God I stopped eating edibles, you should. What do you got going on, brother?
Well, I'm going to release a new album.
Okay. No special.
No, Netflix didn't want it.
So you said, fuck you, I'm taping something anyway and releasing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I released my first record with Stand Up Records, so I figured they'd be pretty responsive if I wanted to give them something, and they were. So I was just tired of the hour, but I knew it was a decent hour, one worth putting out.
Absolutely.
And so I sat on it for a little bit. I just kept doing it so that it was ready. And then it got to a point where I'm like, I'm just slowing myself down. So called Stand Up Records and said, let's do this. And they're like, let's do it. So as a matter of fact, I have to listen to the final cut tomorrow, and then it'll be out within weeks, I think. So...
You're still hustling, man, and that's the most important. Like, don't you ever... I say it to myself every day. No matter what the fuck's going on, I'm still here.
Absolutely. Dude, every day I get paid to tell jokes is good. Like, I definitely know what Ari's talking about and that shit you go through. I'm just not at a place where I could walk away.
No. And it was like, I think it's better. That's what my story was. It's better than wanting to have sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you move to this town. When Ari first got This Is Not Happening on Comedy Central.
Yeah.
The first call he got was from Duncan Trussell going, "Dog, before you say yes, analyze this. And get ready to get mind fucked. Get ready to get calls from networks and executives and people that don't know nothing about anything.
They're
calling
almost
you and giving you rules." He goes, "It's going to wear on you."
Yeah.
He goes, "I did the math after I got the deal and shot the pilot, Joey." He goes, "I made no money, but the time I put into the not Ari.
Yeah.
Duncan was saying this at lunch one day, and he called Ari, and Ari said, "I understand." And Ari was getting to a point that he was going on the road. You know, like I said, it's tough enough doing comedy. Now I got Comedy Central calling me all day on Thursday and Friday, giving me notes and wanting. You're trying to write your material. You're trying to get your shit together now. So it's very hard to focus. You know, he had had some issues like focusing, whatever. And like I said, he called one day and he goes, "I'm not going to shoot my special. I'm going to put it on hold. And I'm going to fucking go to around the world. And get to live life and then try to write about it." He goes, "He hadn't lived his life for a while."
Absolutely.
And I got to be honest with you. For about the last 3 weeks, I was kind of upset deep down inside. Like, Jesus Christ, not even a fucking postcard.
Yeah.
But that's what he said to me. He goes, "I couldn't find the fucking post office for the last 3 weeks."
Yeah.
"I know the letter was overdue." And it made me feel good. I understand what position he's in. No, dog, in 1995... part of the reason I went on that triple run was because I was going to be Ari. That's it.
Yeah.
I just almost fucking beat up a guy. I lost my daughter. I got no money. I'm not doing nothing here in Denver comedy. I was living in Boulder. There's no reason for me to live here.
Yeah.
Comedy Works banned me at the time. I was going to do comedy at the two other clubs and grill. Yeah. That's not going to happen. And I got in my car and I went on a journey, man. And I lived on the road and I moved to Seattle along the way. And then that's I did the same thing he did. And it took me 3 years to settle in L.A.
Dude, at the end of the day, when we're on the road, we're in a one-man submarine. Like, yeah, you have the other comics when you're at the shows, but most of the time, you guys don't hang out. Most of the time, you just go back to your rooms, and you chill the fuck out, and you see each other. So sometimes it's nice to get out of the submarine for a little bit and walk among the earth.
You
and
have
be around
to,
people.
To get material, you have to live your life, and I think it happens. It happens to musicians where, you know, I was watching the thing about Black Sabbath the other day. They toured incessantly for 2.5 years, and then they took fucking 8 months off. You don't want to see that person after 2.5 years.
Oh, absolutely.
You don't want to see that person. You don't want to hear about music. You don't want to hear about new chords. All you want to go home is just sit in front of your fucking TV. Sundays when I get home, all I want to do, I don't sit in front of the fucking TV, but Sundays I sit in front of that fucking TV. I watch my 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
You know, I watch my little Sunday Night Football for a quarter or not. I watch whatever shows on HBO are popular with my wife.
Yeah.
You know, I have to decompress completely. I don't go on the Facebook. I don't go on Twitter. I don't want to know what's on Twitter.
Ew.
Yeah, you have to
decompress. You can't comment on this life if you don't live it.
If you don't live it. You know. I don't know how there are people, and I complain about this constantly. I love them dearly. They're on Twitter. But if I go on Twitter at 6 in the morning, they're twitting. If I go on Twitter at 2 in the afternoon, they just tweeted. And if I go on Twitter at 11 o'clock, they tweeted. They're on there all day.
Yeah.
Not looking up.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're looking up. They're thinking of one thing, and they're going right back down.
It's constant. It's all fucking day. And you
like
sit
there
like
a whale
and go,
breathing.
You have to give. I think Ari just needed a break from. That's when I get pissed off, when I start hearing from people that don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, when I was promoting the CD, the DVD for CISO, and I was getting calls from people that were trying to tell me my job, and that pisses me the fuck off.
Yeah.
I got me here this far.
You're
not going to make me do a radio tour of AM radios from 6 a.m. to 9, talking to college students about my career. Like, it's not going to help me sell DVDs. Did you really go to prison?
Did you
drop the soap? You know.
Yeah, those are the worst interviews ever. Yeah, yeah.
They wear you out, so.
Let me be on here. Let me be funny for 5 minutes. Just ask me about something. I don't even have to do jokes. Just let's be funny. Anytime I go to an interview, especially like, you know, when we do radio or a million fucking TV interviews, and the first thing out is like, So what do we expect from your shows? I'm fucking done. It's like, it's fucking comedy, dude. It's like, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to talk. You obviously did no research whatsoever. They're just fucking, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
That's most people. Most people now, because now, like even podcasting, it's become like the age of the director. Anybody could be a director today.
Yeah.
Anybody. There's no formal training. They watch three movies. I'm a director. No, you're not. No, you're fucking not, guy. No, you're not. That's why your movies suck. That's why that you got to learn. You got to go back to the 70s to learn how to direct. If you don't study the guys from the 70s, you're not going to be a good director. Those are the ones that sold you the story visually.
Absolutely.
They sold the 70s. They had to sell you the story visually. Today, that directing isn't accepted because it's considered a little boring.
Even the 80s.
The 80s.
The opening 2 minutes of any 80s movie is a car driving through the woods. Like, just to a song. Like, that's all it is.
Sorry about that. We're getting hit with the planes over Burbank. But I'll tell you what, like I told Lee the other day, you know what? I don't want a polished podcast. I want you motherfuckers to think you're listening to something rated X, like you're living under a cave and the Russians are looking for you.
Like pirate radio shit.
This is what I want. I never want it to be perfected or edited or people putting music on the fucking podcast. I want you to hear the burps, the farts, the scratching of the nuts, the whole fucking kit and caboodle. That's what we do here on the Church, cocksuckers. Let me do some shout-outs here. Ask you a few more questions and we'll get the fuck out of here. I know you guys want to go for Korean food. You might as well take the little Korean over there. I can tell he's starving. He's looking at that sandwich right now. He's about to eat the wrapper.
Oh, no. As soon as you guys leave, the sandwich will be gone.
No, they're eating it. You ain't eating that sandwich.
No, you can have that sandwich.
You're sniffing that fucking baggie.
We already ate two sandwiches.
I want to give Smoking Oats a shout out. Michael Birdsong, Eddie Brancaccio, Bobby and Crystal, Dick Syatt, Lorne Rosenko, always there. Leon, the Man of Steel over there in Germany. Fucking German chicks by the dozen. Purple Bus OG, I love you, cocksucker. And Sean Welsh and my man, Bob Lalingus. I want to wish your dad good luck on his upcoming procedure. Thinking about you always. And that's basically the fuck it, you know what I'm saying? So I don't know what's going to happen with these 22 feet of snow. I'm going to fucking Baltimore this weekend. A bazooka would have to stop me. You understand me? But they already, like, I got home this afternoon at 2 o'clock, and I saw a friend of mine post, my kids got no school tomorrow. Like, in Jersey, they already declared war.
They've declared war all over
the country. So.
And the storm hasn't even formed yet. Do you understand that? Like, that's what I, on the news, the storm is not even, like, there are no clouds. They're just predicting that clouds will form and make a storm.
I talked to my friend today, and he said that it feels like snow's coming.
Yeah.
You could feel that coldness. So
I definitely, you know that feeling.
Yeah, I grew up in it.
You get that smell in that air.
Yeah, you know when you're getting your bones start to creak a little bit, but 2 feet of snow, so I don't know what's going to happen. If it hasn't formed yet, and they're talking about Tuesday, that means Wednesday.
Yeah.
That means I'm not taking no fucking red eye. I'm not going on the La Bamba flight. You know what I'm saying? That's the La Bamba red eye with fucking snow coming down and you got to land with snow.
No.
That's La Bamba International. Yeah.
You get big bopper to the next level.
Yeah, no, fuck you. So I don't know what's going to happen. So I hope, you know, I'm going to be at Magoobie's Comedy Joke House, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, with the emphasis on motherfucking Thursday. That's when the devil's showing up, cocksuckers. So make sure you're there. 8 o'clock show, snow, sleet, hail. I don't care if your grandmother got hit by a truck. You better be there, cocksucker. That's it. Lee, what do you got planned for the weekend? Lee's going to Las Vegas this weekend.
I am. I'm working for a little bit, and then I get to spend the night with Larry playing blackjack. It's going to be great.
How much you taking? How many Vitas you taking with you?
Just 500, I think.
A couple G's, LaRue.
I wish I could bring a couple G's. That's my dream.
You got to dress up with a suit and go play with him and throw him off this time?
Throw him off?
Sure.
What level table you play? $25 hand, $5 hand.
No, well, I've been playing 25 around here because that's all I really have.
Yeah,
I really should be playing the 15. So in Vegas, I'll play the 15, and unless I make a little bit of money, then I'll switch to the 25. But that's still a little bit much. I don't like betting 25 a hand.
All right.
You're very good at cards. You're very pro.
I play poker. I don't. Okay. And I'm not very good. It's just really easy to take drunk idiot's money, so, you know, and that's who you find at 6 in the morning at a fucking Hard Rock casino.
So where do you play? Do you play in like where you have to sign up and they call you over? Or do you just play against a dealer?
I don't play as much. I mean, I don't play as much as I used to. I'll play like if I play a casino, like I used to play the Borgata in Atlantic City and a few other places, like I'll take $100 down at the tables and I'll play the 1-2 tables.
You worked a big room at the Borgata?
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't do it as like my own show. I do, you know, they book it Sunday through Thursday with like a 3 headliner show.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. And so then it used to be Monday through Sunday, and then like if they had it booked Friday, Saturday, you would just have Friday, Saturday off. But they'd still give you a room and shit. So sometimes they'd hook you up. Like I saw Hall & Oates one night because I was off and they had extra tickets. So, you know. But
you know, speaking of Hall & Oates, I mean to interrupt you. I heard some fucked up shit today on Sirius Radio.
Okay.
I guess John Oates is coming out with a book.
Awesome.
And the guy was reading a segment. You know, at the end of 1980 or 1995, John Hall or John Oates had sold 80 million albums and he had $55 in the bank.
No way. Because he didn't get any of the writing credits,
like,
or what?
Just, they were just saying the story that just flew over my head, legal battles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was watching Sunday, I was watching Black Sabbath. It was on Real TV or Real, whatever it is. And they told the whole story about Sabbath, how they had made 4 albums, they all had gone platinum, and they were fucking broke. So they had to sue their manager, and then they countersued, and they won. So they had to go on a 5-week Japanese run, 3 nights, 4 nights a week, just to fucking break even to pay the attorneys back.
Yeah.
Like, that shit is a fucking nightmare.
Stones did that. They owed so much in taxes. That's why it's called Exile on Main Street.
Right, right, right. No, I knew about that stuff, but it's just, I do not understand how those contracts work with music. I had Danny Brown in here, and I asked him a little bit, and I got it.
Yeah.
And I want, like, I tried to get Don Felder in here, but he said he's not taking interviews. I really want to get to the nuts and bolts of how this happens in 19, I mean, were you just doing that many fucking drugs?
No, it's just back in the day, like especially in the 60s and 70s, the precipice or the, you know, the beginning of like, oh, this guy gave me a deal and now I'm a millionaire. But some guys, you know, for as many of those guys as there were probably 8 guys that got deals that weren't great. Like, and that went on till the 90s. Like the Black Crowes' first deal was shit. And they actually, the only reason they got out of it was because Def American was so poorly staffed that they didn't watch their options and they fucking let it lapse. And so the Crows got to renegotiate. But Chuck Berry, all those cats, like a white dude in a suit in 1968 comes up to you with a piece of paper going, I'll give you $7,000 right now if you sign this. You go, fuck yeah, and you don't read it. And then you realize that he just took 99% of your publishing. And that's where all the money is.
Whatever, the Jewish guy from The Sopranos.
Hesh.
Yeah, yeah. You know, most musicians aren't lawyers. So even if they read the contract, they don't even know what the fuck it says. And they don't know the difference between the one party and the other party. So the guy can totally tell them, yeah, you're that guy with the 99%. And then when it comes to lawsuit time, he's like, I never said that.
I just don't understand how you go on the road, you have hit fucking music, 1 million copies. If you get $1 an album, you're a fucking millionaire. If you're telling me that you don't get $1.
They don't. They get like 7 cents.
Oh my God. Now, what if they own the music? That's where the money is.
That's where the money is. But that's, you know, that's something you get at the end. Like, maybe now, like, you know, Jay-Z saw the business in enough forefront to be like, I own my music. And he had his own, you know, he started Rockefeller from the start and it was his. But, you know, you saw Ray, like, he didn't own his masters until he kind of made them give him his masters. He just kind of negotiated his way into that. But fucking Chuck Berry, the band, I mean, look at the band. Like, Robbie Robertson took all their money. And fucking 2 of them ended up, or at least 1 of them killed themselves. Richard Manuel killed himself at the end of the day. And, you know, because he had no money whatsoever. Meanwhile, Robbie Robertson's got 9 houses. You know, sometimes it's not the manager, it's another dude in the band.
I know that what's his name did that also. Now I forget his fucking name. Well, that happened with Eazy-E.
Yeah, yeah.
And if you watch Fresh Outta Compton, him and then the manager was robbing him.
Yeah.
He was robbing the band and the manager was robbing him. I just, it's such a fucking day. It would drive me crazy.
Dude, at the end of the day.
That shit drives me fucking crazy.
At the end of the day, like you show a guy that's never seen $8,000 in his life, you just give him $8,000, he's probably going to sign whatever the fuck you put in front of him.
Who the fuck are you kidding? I got a call from the Ice House once when I was struggling. I was eating fucking beans with my wife.
Yeah.
And they called and said, these guys want to do a tape. They're going to sell it to naval bases and army bases in the war. You get $1,500 flat and 50% of the profits. Let me tell you something. That $1,500 check cashed, and I never saw those people again.
Yeah.
I was fucking, you know, I didn't play at the Ice House for 2 or 3 years because I went off on my own. I go, you're responsible for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You connected us with this. That's like a drug deal.
Yeah.
You connect me with a bad drug deal, you cover for it, brother. And he was like, I'm not doing it. So I called an attorney. I got an attorney to look into the company. They had so many shell companies. And I would see soldiers at shows, and they'd bring me the DVDs. And I'd sign them and go, how many of these fucking DVDs were over there? He goes, guys.
It was like suing the Predator.
He goes, the company would just put stand-up comedy at the bases or something like this. And he goes, this was the most popular one. For like 3 or 4 months. I knew for a fact they sold a ton of them.
Yeah, yeah.
We never got a dime. And after that, before I do anything higher level, let me run this by my lawyer.
Absolutely.
Even the fucking, and this is the problem you have in LA. Okay, that a lot of people don't know. It's like, you have to go? What time is your reservation?
We didn't really have one.
Oh, okay.
But we've been having so much fun, times passed by.
The Koreans stay open all night. They're drinking beer. They're playing dominoes.
I should probably go in the next 15.
Yeah, let's get out of here. Okay. But no, it's really interesting how lucky we are that we don't. But in L.A., you got to watch it. Because here's the problem. When I did my fucking deal, I took it to the attorney where everybody takes it to comedians.
Yeah, yeah.
And my wife read it. My wife's like, you know what? This is a fugazi. These guys know each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my wife sent it to a fucking evil Jew downtown that runs the Disney Hall. You know, Disney don't fuck with you unless you're Jewish and got direct roots to fucking Hitler.
Send him to Eisner himself.
Yeah, these motherfuckers are mean.
Yeah, yeah.
This bitch came back and just scratched half that contract up. And she goes, tell Joey, nay. You see this little clause right there? That's how they get you. You see?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, we got it to the point where we could contact New Wave and look at what they invested. Like, we have it. We signed it before. I don't do it because, you know, you're going to get robbed anyway.
Yeah, yeah,
you ever
yeah.
go into these deals with these people, you're like, you know, but how much can they rob me?
Absolutely. How at the end of the day,
yeah.
if the content gets out, you're going to see it at the
you're
end.
You're going to see it at the
Miles
end.
Davis always said albums are just advertisements for the gigs.
That's it. That's what they really fucking are.
Yeah.
Man. Chris Port, I'm really happy you came on. You're one of the guys that are the real guys. You're one of the good guys.
Wow, well, I appreciate it. And, I feel the same way.
You got to get out there more. You got to come on here more.
Dude, I'll be out here. I'll come by anytime.
I loved you to death always. So when I saw this Minneapolis thing, I go, that's it. When I go back, I got to hunt down Chris fucking Porter. Anything all right? You have any questions? You're cool? Everything was all right? When he contacted me, he goes, you mind my girlfriend comes? I thought it was going to be one of these things where I ask a question, and he looks at you, and you're like, and then he looks back at me and goes, I can't answer that question. I can't have that shit. That happened one time.
Nah. The truth has been around a lot longer than she has. So we got to...
So we got to fucking get out. Where are you at the next few weeks? Let me promote some of your gigs, brother.
Well, tomorrow and Wednesday, I'm at Hermosa Comedy Magic. This weekend, I'm at Stand Up Scottsdale. And next weekend, Punchline in Atlanta.
You got a website?
ChrisPorterIsFunny.com, but I'm getting ready to relaunch it.
Okay. Listen, this is one of my personal favorites. If he comes to your town, give him the respect. Go down there, give him a hug. Tell him I heard you on the church. And that's basically it. What's going on with you, Lee?
Wait.
Huh?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to go to Vegas, and that's it.
That's it? You're just excited to go to Vegas. Fucking amazing. Wait till I get the report from Vegas. It never ends. You know what I'm saying? It never fucking ends. Always on it. For supplements, I love them to death. That hemp protein, I live by it every morning. That's what I drink for breakfast. I mix it around, but Onnit is my favorite. Go to Onnit.com right now and press in.
Church.
C-H-U-R-C-H. And get 10% off your first order. Also, Let me tell you something. Are you hiring? Do you know where to post your job to find the best candidates? Posting your job in one place isn't enough to find quality candidates. If you want to find the perfect hire, you need to post your job on all the top job sites. And now you can. With ZipRecruiter.com, you can post your job to 200-plus job sites, including social media networks like Facebook and Twitter, all in one single click. First candidates in any city or industry nationwide. Find candidates in any city or any industry nationwide. Just post once and watch your qualified candidates roll into ZipRecruiter's easy-to-use interface. No juggling emails or calls to your office. Quickly screen candidates, rate them, and hire the right person fast. Find out today why ZipRecruiter has been used by Fortune 100 companies, Fortune 1000, I don't know, 100, thousands of small and medium-sized businesses. And right now, my listeners can post jobs on ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter for free by going to ZipRecruiter.com/church. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/church. One more time for a free go. ZipRecruiter.com/church. If you're looking, ZipRecruiter will do it for you. Number two, you're sleeping on a mattress. You wake up every morning, you got headaches. Your feet fucking hurt in the morning. You know why? Because you're sleeping on the wrong mattress. All that's changed. You're unique. You don't walk like everyone. You don't talk like everyone. You don't sleep like everyone. So why is your mattress one size fits all? Why? Because a custom mattress will cost you $5,000 to $10,000 until now. Introducing Helix Sleep, where you can buy mattresses online, customized for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to helixsleep.com, answer a few simple questions based on four key preferences, and the result will be a custom sleep profile used to build you a beautiful, most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Your mattress will arrive at your door in about a week, and shipping is 100% free, free, free. And for couples, Helix customizes each side of the mattress. Helix customers report a 30% improvement in overall sleep quality. You have 100 nights to try it out, and if you don't love it, they'll pick it up for free and give you 100% refund, no questions asked. That's why everyone from GQ Magazine to Forbes are all talking about Helix Sleep. Go to helix.com/Joey and get $50 off your order. Again, go to helix.com/Joey, helixsleep.com/Joey, and get $50 off your order. That's helixsleep.com/Joey. Get some great sleep. I want to thank Helix. I want to thank ZipRecruiter. And I also want to thank Onnit for being the best sponsors in the world. I want to thank my man, Chris Porter, in the house for coming on this hot night. You could open that door. I'm sweating like fucking two faggots at a parade. You know what I'm saying?
Getting a lot of work done.
I love you, motherfucker. Stay black. See you next week. Have a great weekend. See you in Baltimore, Maryland. Stay black, babies. Whew. Yeah, we got to turn the air on. I'll get an air conditioner here, Lee. That's it. I've had it.
I like this.
To all the ladies in the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. The back of the club, macking holes, my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, blunt passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these homies Biggie got to creep with, right. Sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Cause we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Mac than Craig and in the bed, right. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benzes, see notes by the layers. True fucking players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GF3. I got the chronic by the truth. I love it when you call me Big Pop. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. I love it when you call me Big Pop. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. I love it when you call me Big Pop. You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Wow. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these niggas think they be macking, but they be acting.
So who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are, who you be with, things to make you smile, what numbers to dial. You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave. Throw the keys to little C's. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next blunt so we can steam on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's great. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo? Forget the telly. We just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke L's while you do me. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby,
how you living, Biggie Smalls?
Imagine in Benz is giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, fuck a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams. Chopping O's, smoking line optimals. Money, hoes, and clothes, all a nigga knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure, so grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the man, girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Tell your friends to get with my friend. We could be friends. Shit, we could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright? Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player. I love it when you call me Big Poppa. To the honeys getting money, playing niggas like dummies. I love it when you call me Big Poppa. You got a gun up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby. Baby.
Check it out. Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Junior Mafia. Represent, baby.